Tech Timber Corporation, a publicly owned natural resources company headquartered right here in Arkansas. Learn more at chenal.com.
Gear, be 100% clear, cause while you was ill, who would have thought he'd be the one that set the West in flames? And I heard him wreck it with the crystal method, name of the game. Came back, dropped Megadeth, took him to church. I like bleach, man. Why you?
All right, welcome. In the zone, it is Wednesday. It must be because Wally's here. Although you've been here on some Fridays and Mondays too, so.
First time this year, it was Wednesday.
It's true. It's good to have you, buddy. Phil Austin's also here.
Your liner just told you it was Wednesday.
It is. It is. That doesn't make it true, but it does say it. So we appreciate everybody tuning in today. We have a busy show today. We're going to give you a chance to qualify yourself for a $10,000 giveaway from our friends at the Arkansas Big Buck Classic. Isn't that right, Matt?
That is correct.
Can't wait to hear Matty do the liner. Actually, it's become the highlight of the show for me.
Check out the goatee on Matty T.
Yeah.
That's pretty impressive, man. That wasn't here when I saw you last.
Yeah, it's taken a while.
Yeah, I'm impressed.
You're very attractive, Matt. Very attractive man.
Oh, shucks.
So, Wally, big game tonight for the Razorbacks. Go on the road, 8 o'clock tip. Game you can hear here on The Buzz, 7:30 pregame. If you can stay awake, maybe you can. I'm going to struggle probably to do so, but I am hoping for the best. Go Hogs. On the road tonight against a Texas A&M team that, in a word, is terrible, frankly. And
they're 9-4. They're playing a little better.
They're horrible. They have the worst schedule of anybody in the SEC in the non-conference, I think. They have not had one quality win in the non-conference.
Did they get that player eligible? They were trying to get a 6'9 kid eligible for this semester.
Aren't we all? I mean, I don't know. I actually haven't seen. I don't think that Kennedy's a bad coach. I just think they're not very good. And this is a game you've got to go down and win, right?
He's married to an Arkansas girl.
Oh, okay. Well, I like him already then.
He's smart.
It's cool.
Good taste.
Yeah, unfortunately, he's going to have the second best team on the floor tonight. So, what do you think? How important is it?
He's critical.
Okay, critical. That's a good way to put it. I like that.
They come home against Florida and Kentucky. You can't start 0-3. It's going to be hard to bounce back.
I wouldn't always think that these numbers were that notable, but they are because of the fact that A&M's played a worse schedule than Arkansas. Did you hear what I just said, everyone? A&M has played a worse schedule than Arkansas in the non-conference.
I wasn't sure if that was doable.
And you know what, Phil? It's not really close. We went over their schedule yesterday, and I won't bore you with it again today, but let me tell you this. It's awful.
Really?
Their non-conference schedule is awful, and they have a couple more losses than Arkansas does. Here's my favorite stat going into this game. The scoring margin difference, A&M is +9 per game. Arkansas is +20.5. Arkansas is averaging over 87 points a game, and A&M is not averaging even 70 points a game. This is a game that Arkansas needs to go down and win comfortably tonight. A&M has one of the least intimidating environments in the SEC. They're not very good. They haven't played anybody. They're not prepared. Arkansas should go down and smash them. If you want to get back, this is a game you absolutely have to win comfortably.
You're right about the atmosphere. I've been down there for a UALR women's game, and you know it's going to be a different atmosphere for that no matter what. But that's a big building. And I would imagine the sound could get trapped in there, and you might feel like it's a little empty. But if they had a good team and they sold the place out, I think...
Don't they support the women almost as much as they do the men down there?
Well, the women are a winning program now.
Yeah.
They're actually good. It's funny how people do that. When your team doesn't stink, people definitely support you. But they're, I don't know, maybe the men will get better as the year goes on. But right now, I mean, on paper, this is a game Arkansas's got to absolutely win. So
you're not talking about like a 5-point win.
They need to go down and win. Yeah, they should win comfortably. This is a game you need to go down and win by 10 or 12. You're that much better than these guys. And the only reason I don't think they win by 20 is because you're not playing at your house. Mike Anderson spoke this week about the matchup.
Well, it's a team that, like a lot of us, are still kind of trying to find out, you know, the identity. You know, they've had some adversity to take place with some kids in and out and got a lot of new faces. You know, one of the faces that you're going to see, though, that is leading them in assists is Caruso. He's a guy that has played well against us in both games last year. Courtney Robeson, you look at him. Those are the guys they're looking for them to lead those guys. And Fabian Harris is another guy, you know, that kept them in the game when we played them here last year. But it's a team that just continued to add some new pieces. And of course, like all coaches, we're trying to get that consistency game in and game out.
This is the 150th matchup between Arkansas and Texas A&M. I think Arkansas has only played maybe three or four other schools that many times.
Used to be a great rivalry when Shelby Metcalf was coaching there, and back in the 80s. Man, he had some great players come through there.
What's the – I mean, I guess I'm not familiar with A&M's basketball program whatsoever. What's the highest point they've reached in your career? They've made a Final Four, a Sweet 16, an Elite Eight?
I'm sure they made the Sweet 16 when they had the three guys that called – or maybe four, they called them the Wall. They went 6'9", Rudy Woods. They had some players, but Shelby was still coaching.
I don't remember A&M ever being relevant, I guess, in a big way. I mean, they've had some good teams.
A long time ago.
Yeah, Gillespie had some very good teams. He's put some guys in the NBA. But, you know, again, they're not doesn't look like to me like they've got much of a team that should.
And their Coach Kennedy's got an illness.
Yeah, he's been through some – did he have cancer? He had a serious health issue. Was it last year or the year before? He missed
some
time.
Well, he still has it. Whatever it is, okay. He's still got it. It's like – I think he's got Parkinson's.
Yeah, I can't remember what the deal was, but I know he's anyway, that's obviously more important than this, but again, with his team, he's got some things to worry about as well. But anyway, for Arkansas, it would be a huge step in the right direction with a win tonight. And then they get, again, those two games. It sets up, you know, what is an exciting time the next couple of games. Arkansas with a noon game against Florida this Saturday, and then against Kentucky next week, another 8 o'clock game. And that game is on ESPN. The Florida game's on ESPN, too. If you're looking for the game tonight, it's a Fox Sportsnet game. All those games, of course, can be heard right here on The Buzz. And, you know, you got Florida ranked. Kentucky, I think, is ranked maybe in one poll and not in another. But the bottom line is either one of those would be significant wins. Arkansas knocked off Florida when they were second in the country, I think, last year in Fayetteville.
Right,
Certainly both are winnable in Fayetteville.
You got to believe if North Texas can go into College Station and win.
Right.
Arkansas can go into College Station and win.
And hey, I'm not going to knock North Texas. They got some athletes without a doubt, but that's a game that Arkansas has got to go win tonight.
That was a blowout, too. I'm looking at their schedule here. They lost by 20 to North Texas.
Yeah.
Wasn't in their own home building.
Wasn't a good game.
But they're fresh off a win over UT Pulaski Academy, I guess.
Stop it. Tomorrow night, the Arkansas women back on the court, and they have broken into the top 25 after losing to 13th-ranked South Carolina. They come back and knock off Missouri, so Tom Collins' team in the top 25 now, so certainly wish them luck. And then tomorrow night at the Jack Stevens Center, the UALR men open Sun Belt Conference play at home, or their first home game, I guess, in conference play after winning two on the road last weekend against South Alabama. So for those of you who are looking for something to do tomorrow night, and I'm hoping to feel good enough to go, love to see you over at the Jack tomorrow night. In fact, we've got some tickets we'll give away here coming up in a few minutes. But, you know, UALR, I was very pleased with them to go on the road. And those are not two of the teams that are expected to finish at the top of the conference. But any road victory is a good one. And to get two over the weekend is great for UALR.
I'm planning on being there.
They survived a really slow start against Texas State and came back and beat them. And then a thrilling win against UT Arlington on a buzzer beater by Josh Hagans. That was really fun to watch.
What are the women, are they at home tomorrow or are they on the road?
We're at home tonight, actually, okay. against South Alabama, first home game in Sun Belt play. The women went 1-1 on the road, and I know they were very disappointed losing to Texas State. That's a team they should have beaten. And then they beat Texas Arlington, which is a team they should have crushed.
Is Foley just a dream to work with?
He's fun for me to work with.
That's what I mean.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like I've learned a lot about basketball and you know, through his eyes and how to try to mold a team, you know, from, and it just seems every year, you know, you're starting with a young group of players that aren't quite gelling. But once you get to this point of the season, Joe, you always gets them playing good basketball in January and fantastic basketball in February. He's always said, I want my team playing their best basketball in February. That means we're going to go into March feeling really good about ourselves. And they always do.
Have you ever seen him get stressed?
Not openly.
Let me assure you, practices are different than games.
No question. He's one of those guys that definitely gets it done in practice. But
you know, he won his first national championship. He won with six girls.
That's pretty amazing.
Yeah, and he's sort of taken that over to UALR as well because the depth has never been great in these last few years with UALR. So it's been six, seven, sometimes eight players. And he's talked about that, you know, the Arkansas Tech teams that he had, where they literally had six players and won a national championship. It's incredible.
I remember watching him coach in his first Sun Belt Conference tournament game, and they had a chance to win. It was down to the wire. There was just, like, maybe 30 seconds left, 20 seconds left, and they broke the huddle. And he's walking over, and he kind of looks over me, and it was in a small – it was when they had split the courts, I guess. Maybe it was in Denton, and the women were playing, like, on a high school court. And he kind of walks over, and he's going to sit down, and he kind of looks at me and gives me a little wink and just sits down. I'm thinking, you're about to win the first game this team has ever won in Sun Belt Conference tournament play, and you're over there winking and relaxed. It just kills me.
There was an episode, the game against Texas, which was a bad one for the Trojans. They lost, I think, 60-26 or something like that. And I made the remark in my pregame interview with Joe. I said, well, this ought to be fun just because of the stage and, you know, seeing the big production at the University of Texas. And he goes, I don't know who it's going to be fun for. It's probably going to be fun more for Texas than it's going to be for us. Well, then late in the second half, when UALR is getting blown out by 40, I'm positioned two seats away from him at the scores table, and he actually gets Evan's attention. Evan's the SID for women's basketball, and he wants to get my attention. He looks over at me and he says, are you having fun? I thought to myself, you're getting blown out by 40 and you're making fun of me. But that really goes to show you, I mean, he doesn't feel the pressure.
Yeah. He's a guy with perspective, that's for sure.
He really is.
Tonight, UALR women then at home against Southout. Tomorrow, the men. And I'm sure those folks are happy to get out of there, as bad as the weather's been here this morning in Mobile, Alabama, guys. I got out just in time along with a bunch of ASU fans. 11 degrees in Mobile, Alabama. I never thought I would see that.
Those oysters must be really frozen.
Bro, they are cold as ice, my friend. Yep.
So. On overtime yesterday, we got a nice report on your driving.
From?
I don't remember his name. He said he followed you. You were hard not to see in the
bright yellow buzz truck.
Buzzmobile. Yeah. And he said, I just followed Justin, and it said he didn't speed, but he's a good driver, and he just plowed ahead.
Well, part of that is true, and part of that is not that true, but I didn't get pulled over. I'll say that, either way down or back, so that was good.
That's always a nice accomplishment.
Yeah, I like to work in the gray. There's a gray area when
you
it comes to—
You didn't pull over any?
I think it didn't get pulled over.
Oh, didn't get.
No, we stopped one time on the way down and one time on the way back.
8 hours to Mobile, right?
Seven.
You got to stop once.
6 hours and 40. I could do it without, but I did tell Tommy the other day, when our trip is always the same, when we go to the beach or we go to Mobile or whatever, we stop in Tallulah. We spend 5 minutes doing the bathroom break thing, 5 minutes getting gas, and 5 minutes paying homage to Anthony Lucas, and then we get back in the car and roll on.
You don't take the shortcut?
No, that's not really a shortcut anyway.
It really is.
It really isn't any faster. I've done it both ways, I promise you. I go to the beach every single year. I've done that trip probably 50 times. It's not faster.
You're missing why it's faster. There's a 30-mile stretch that's never patrolled, so you can go as fast as you want.
Yeah, well, maybe that's the case.
You can't go through Tallulah as fast as you want.
That's true. I don't know. I've never had a problem getting there. It's an 8-hour deal to the 7 hours to Mobile or a little less, and it's 8 hours to Gulf Shores, and that's good enough for me. So. We've tried the shortcut before. It didn't really help us too much. In fact, not at all. So, Todd.
Yes, sir. I just wanted to call in. I came from Hot Springs area, seen some customers, and I was coming in on Highway 5 to Benton, and it's just Highway 5 is just a sheet of ice. I mean, it is really slippery. You got cars that are collided, and police officers in there. You got cars in the ditch all over, and when I was getting on the highway, on the interstate, on Interstate 30, I was going about 15 miles an hour, and I turned my wheel, and I just started sliding forward. And I'm seeing here on the interstate, too, there's a three-car collision right here, too, before the Bryan exit. So I just wanted to I haven't heard anything on the radio, and let everybody know that it is a little slick out there, so be careful. Even on the interstate, your rear end will slide out a little bit.
My rear end is not to be sliding anywhere. Where are you headed?
I'm headed into Little Rock.
Are you going to work?
I'm just going to see some stuff. Yeah, I'm working right now.
I think you should go home. I think you should take the rest of the day off. Tell your boss I said so. And if he has a problem, he can call me up here at the station.
Okay, I sure will.
It's not safe for you to be out today, Todd. Go home and be
safe.
The
day off with pay.
Yeah, right, exactly.
With pay, yes,
yep. If there's any issues, have him give me a ring. I'll take care of it.
Okay, you'll
thanks.
Take care of it.
Thanks, Todd.
Good. All right.
They usually needed a doctor's note for that, not a talk show host.
Yeah, whatever.
Well, it's about the same, isn't it?
What does a doctor have that I don't have? I got terrible penmanship. 433-1037, 1-800-477-1037. If you need a day off work with pay, you can call in, too. Coaching moves. Couple up in the air. One's already been done. I want to talk about all of them with you, Wally. Bobby Petrino to Louisville. You think that's likely, unlikely, or possible?
I think it's possible.
Okay. Apparently he's going to interview, according to reports. If you are somebody who worked with him before and had a great time doing it, I say that with my tongue firmly planted in my cheek, how excited are you about the potential for him coming back? I guess the question becomes, has he changed since his last go-around at Louisville?
That's what he's going to convince him he's done, even though he hasn't.
And then if you're at Louisville, do you lock him into some sort of ridiculous buyout for the first 3 years? Because my thing is, if he can come back for 3 years, it's probably okay.
Yeah, what Texas found out and what everybody finds out, the talent pool for head coaches right now is really shallow.
Mm-hmm.
And there's not a bunch of guys out there willing to jump to Louisville. Louisville's still considered kind of an outlaw program.
Is it?
Oh, I think so.
Such a good deal going right there. I mean, they've shown an ability to win over a period of time with different coaches. You're joining the ACC now, which gives you more high profile, better opportunity to get into the 14 playoff. And you got a great AD, and you got a really successful overall program. It's still a basketball school first, I suppose, but at least you can win consistently. It's a good setting.
You know, I met a player that played for Bobby at Louisville at the Kentucky Derby. And I just said, how did you like him? And he raised his hand. He said, if you want to get these, and pointed to his ring, he said, you'll like him fine.
Mm-hmm.
He's not warm and cuddly, though.
No, that's an understatement.
Well, and I doubt that that's changed at all, but I think if I was Louisville or any other program, I'm not thinking that his work habits are going to change or how he treats people, because I think what you're hiring him for is to win games. And you want him to stick around longer than he stuck around before. I mean, when he was at Louisville, there was always rumors going to talk about Auburn and mm-hmm. whatever other job. I think you want to try to nip that in the bud early, because that's the thing I think
that
burns people.
They've got a lot of bargaining power, too. They can say, okay, if you leave in the next 5 years, it costs $20 million, but if we fire you, it costs one. They're holding all the
that's
chips
true.
Right now.
And they need to. I don't know why more teams don't take advantage of that.
Right. Because school administrators are not great at athletic contracts.
This is true. No, the whole system is pretty farcical. Other guys that are in the mix, allegedly, according to reports, Stanford defensive coordinator Derek Mason, Michigan State defensive coordinator Pat Narduzzi, and Clemson offensive coordinator Chad Morris. All those guys are Broyles guys. Those guys all were in, I believe, wasn't Chad Morris this year? The offensive coordinator,
so.
Narduzzi was, and Derek Mason came last year. He's the defensive coordinator at Stanford. So you're either going to go that route. I mean, to me, you're not going to find anybody more qualified as far as their success right. in college football than Bobby Petrino. It will be interesting to see if they'll hire him, though. He's 52 years old. And if you're him, too, I mean, if you go to Western for a couple more years, does something better come along, something different come along? Do you want to go down that path again?
No, I don't. I think this would be it for him.
Really? You think so?
I don't think he'd have a choice. What did you say, 52?
52.
No, he can't. He wouldn't be able to make another move.
You don't think if he waits 2 years?
I think he's darn lucky if he can get this job.
Yeah, well, probably will be. It sounds like there's some pretty stiff competition. It's an attractive job, I think.
It is an attractive job. It's just not an established, long-term, traditional football school. It's a basketball school,
that's
like
true.
You said.
But I think they're a good 1-2 punch, and you don't get a lot of that. Arkansas is what Arkansas has always wanted to be, too, and has had periods of time where it has been that, a very successful football and basketball school simultaneously. Right now, obviously, football is down. Basketball is on its way back up, we think. We'll find out more tonight. But to me, that's what's fun. As a fan, if you've got a school that's competitive in both, that's a cool thing. So,
if you were the AD, would you hire him? Knowing everything you know about him.
Yeah.
And he worked for you before.
Mm-hmm.
And left you high and dry.
Yeah. I don't know. It's hard to tell. I mean, and you can't really probably get that from an interview, because he's going to tell you the right things because he wants the job. The question I would have is, are you committed to being here long term? Because Bobby Petrino, if he goes to Louisville and wins 8 to 10 games a year in the ACC, is going to get an opportunity from some other school.
And it may end up coming in this conference in the SEC, which right. seems to be the direction he was always going in to begin with.
Yeah. I think he would have stayed at Arkansas a long time if this hadn't happened. I really do.
I agree with you.
Yeah, he just signed a new contract.
Yeah, but I mean, the bottom line is, to me, he's got a job hopper sort of reputation.
Yeah, he's a nomad.
Yeah, a couple job hops ago was not his, you know, not designed, not by design, not planned. So I don't know. I mean, I don't know who else is really truly in the mix. I don't know. I mean, you know, again, you've got unproven guys who seem to be very good coaches but have not been coaches.
That's the thing. I mean, Petrino's a proven winner. Mm-hmm. And at that program, too.
41-9.
Plus, the last time they took a guy who was a career position coach, then turned coordinator and a high-level one, it was Charlie Strong, and look what happened there. I mean, the guy won 23 games his last 2 years combined. So,
true.
Which everybody understands that Charlie Strong would have been a great hire for most anybody, except for apparently certain boosters at the University of Texas. Before we get into that, because I do want to spend some time on that in the next segment.
All Red's just no crusty old guy.
I know.
I think he just proved that, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know that there's much else to say about it, but I'm going to anyway, just because people who are dumb need to be pointed at. I like to focus on these things. I just feel bad for Charlie, too, because... Well, anyway, we'll get into it. James Franklin to Penn State. That job makes so much sense in so many ways. I actually think, you know, you could have made a case for him being a good candidate at Texas or anywhere else too. But it's like Barrett Salee said yesterday, and we'll try to. I think we're supposed to have him on today. We'll ask him about it. But he said James Franklin to Penn State makes so much sense. He said, but then again, James Franklin to anywhere makes so much sense. I mean, the guy, he seems to have, you know, what anybody would want. I mean, he's got great charisma. He's been successful at a place where it's hard to be successful.
They don't even have an athletic department, per se, at Vanderbilt. Mm-hmm. And he went in there and took over a program, and they're in the top 25. And they won a bowl game. I mean, they've been to, what, 4 bowls in a row? Is that not unprecedented at Vanderbilt?
Well, the fact that they win 9 back-to-back? Did they win 9 last year, too?
I think so.
Yeah, I mean, that's... You know, again, it's amazing the run he's had. Pretty incredible. So
you're saying, given the right support, the right athletic department, and the right money, he could win anywhere.
He has a formula to win.
My gosh, what a huge handicap trying to win it at Vanderbilt, and he's done it.
No kidding.
It's amazing. How did he get there? I don't even know how he ended up there. Was he a...
He was at Maryland, wasn't he?
I don't know.
Assistant.
Okay.
And Gus turned the job down?
Yeah, I mean, because when that happened, we're all like, well, you can't win at Vanderbilt. Well, maybe you can.
Maybe you can.
Turns out. Now, again, I will say this, and this is not to diminish at all what he's done, because he's done an unbelievable job, but it hasn't exactly been a great run for the East the last couple seasons either.
No, it hasn't. Yeah. It hasn't.
When you go back 10 years ago when Florida was winning, you know, titles and Tennessee was good, I mean, it would have been a little more difficult to do what he's done, but it has still been remarkable, the run he's had. 10:28, we will get into some other things. We're also going to talk to, I believe, Muskie and Bill Torrey are coming up today. Muskie Harris, talk about the MLK 5K. Also, Barrett Salee, a Bleach Report later in the day. He was in Pasadena for the national championship game. We'll visit with him about that. Keithley Service Company live fan feedback through our Listen Live button. You can email back. 10:32, Justin Agri, Wally Hall.